chairman to say we're glad to see everyone present this morning. We have a lot of people that are ill, a lot of people who are related to members here that are ill. And we certainly have a lot of work to do as far as prayer goes, to be praying for all those folks that are listed in our bulletin. Maybe others that we are not aware of, but we certainly want to pray for them. We want to pray for world conditions. We want to pray for the fact that the war in Ukraine will stop, and the war in Gaza will stop, and that peace will be restored in these areas. I saw a list the other day. Since World War II, there have been over 30 major wars fought on our planet. Now, we weren't involved in all of them. We were involved in a few of them. But there have been 30, over 30 wars that have been fought around the world by countries. It shows how much the world needs the gospel of Christ. They need to hear about the Prince of Peace and how people can get along with each other and their lives can be better through Jesus Christ. So let's be praying that peace will be restored in these areas. The Lord's church has grown tremendously in Ukraine, even in spite of the war that has gone on there almost weekly. There are reports of baptisms that are happening all over Ukraine. Many brethren have had to go to Hungary, Romania, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, brethren. And we just want to continue to pray for those brethren that are in these other countries, that eventually they'll be able to go home. The gospel will be able to spread even more in that country. Let's bow for a word of prayer right now. Father, we are thankful for this day, and we're thankful for the many blessings you give us, most of all for Jesus. We are thankful that he showed us how to live, that he showed us how to have a relationship with you, and he gave us your plan of salvation. He established the church for the fellowship we have with one another. We're so grateful for all these spiritual blessings. Bless us now as we study from your word. We pray in the name of Christ and amen. I want you to turn with me this morning over to the Gospel of John, John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. We're going to begin at verse number 31. John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Yet verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This week on Thursday, we celebrate the 4th of July. It is the 248th birthday of our country. And it is a wonderful thing to think about. The more I study history, the more I see that there are two sides of history. And it is the case that there have been times in American history when the American people have done things that have been just horrible. There have been sins that have been committed. There have been things that have been done out of greed and out of power, lust for power. Those things have happened in our history. But there have been more things that have been done out of the goodness of people's hearts and things that help people and help other nations and help situations in any country in the history of the world. And we should be thankful that we do have a history of people who did want to do good, who wanted to help other nations, who wanted to do things for people. And we should be grateful that we do live in this country. It is a good country. Now, there are problems, there are difficulties, there are things that a lot of people are trying to change. Even the name 4th of July has had another name. But the fact is, there is a lot of good that we have heard in our country. So you might hear the quote from Patrick Henry when he said, Is life so dear, peace so sweet, As we purchase at the price of chains and slavery, forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And that is an important thing, the idea of liberty or freedom. In the world around us today, people are crying out for freedom. They cry out for political freedom. Many countries in South America and Africa, people are having revolts and talking about there needs to be political freedom. People talk about economic freedom, talk about how the economy is no longer just the American economy or the European economy. There's a world economy. People depend on other nations, other situations, and then people cry out for economic freedom. Sometimes people talk about moral freedom or the freedom of speech, and that's a wonderful thing. We have the freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion. Those are wonderful things, but the only absolute freedom, the only pure absolute freedom is the freedom in Christ, the spiritual freedom that we have. And this morning I want us to look at some of the things in the scriptures that do talk about the freedom that we have, and I want us to turn over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 is where we're going to start. And the types of freedom that Paul describes for Christians in this book. We'll start again in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This chapter really talks about the fact that we are free from the wrath of God. The fact is, the Bible makes it clear that all people in the world are under the wrath of God, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And because we've come short, because we have sinned, we are under God's condemnation. But Paul says here, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In fact, in chapter 5 and verse 9, if you look down at what he says there, it says, much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. It's a wonderful thing to think about. At one time, God was had his wrath on us because of the fact of our sins. Because of the fact that he is a just God and he cannot accept sin. The fact of the matter is, God and David O'Connell were not at peace. God had his wrath on me, and when I obeyed the gospel, when the blood of Christ washed me clean, when the blood of Christ took away all of my sins, then the wrath of God was lifted from my soul, and I stood with no condemnation before God because of the cleansing of the blood of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to think about the fact that we no longer are under the wrath of God. We're free from the wrath of God. Then going on in chapter 6. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. That's the theme of this chapter. In chapter 5, he shows we're free from wrath. Here in chapter 6, he shows the fact that we are free from sin. Now, we don't think about it too often, but the fact is the Bible talks more about sin than any other topic. And the fact is that the Bible talks about how you can be free from sin. In the Old Testament, Israel sinned against God many, many times. But God wants people to be saved, and he did that by bringing forth his Son. That's why we find in the New Testament it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Peter affirmed the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He said, God is willing that none should perish. Even in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, the prophet said this, I have not pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants people to be saved. He wants them to be free from their sins. So he gave his Son to die for them. All that is wonderful. To think about God would let his Son come to this world, and therefore we are being made free from sin. Look down a little bit farther in chapter 6 here. Look at verse 16 of Romans. It is, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Everybody is going to be the servant of someone. People don't want to think about that, but the fact is, everybody will. People talk about the fact that some of us used to be in slavery. Well, at one time, slavery was in our country. It was in many other countries. But the fact that slavery still exists. Everybody who is in sin is a slave to sin. Jesus said in John 8, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. That word really means slave. You stay in sin, you're a slave to sin. But when you obey the gospel, you become, as Paul says here, the servant of righteousness. Peter affirmed how people can be the servants of corruption over in 2 Peter chapter 2. But we can be delivered from that by the blood of Jesus. We are made free from the power and the guilt and the problems of sin. All that is taken away by the blood of Christ. I remember on one occasion at another congregation, I came back after a vacation or somewhere, and there was just such a discussion in that congregation. There was just almost just a feud going on, because some people said we will never have to answer for anything before our baptism. And there was a few people said, no, you'll have to answer for everything. Even before your baptism, you have to answer for all that. Well, that's just not true. Before your baptism, when you were baptized into Christ, at that point, everything is washed away. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Everything before you were baptized into Christ is gone. God put it behind his back. God threw it into the sea. God took it away. It does not exist. Now, even after our baptism, if we sin, John says if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins. You can still have that cleansing through the blood of Christ. You do it because you become a servant of righteousness. We have been free from the power and the guilt of sin. Then going on in chapter 7, Paul tells us another area that we are free from, and that's the area of law. Look what he says in chapter 7, verse 1. He says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, this is the point Paul's making, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now it's obvious that in this chapter, Paul is talking about the law of Moses. And it is a shame that you have religious bodies all over the world who go back to the Old Covenant, go back to the Old Testament, and try to bring up parts of the law of Moses and bind it on Christians today. We need to remember that Paul said over in Colossians 2 that the law was nailed to the cross. And it is no longer binding on anybody today. Yes, there are many parts in the Old and the New Covenant, many things that are similar, no question about that. But to go back and take some of these other parts in the Old Covenant, whether you're talking about the burning of incense, or you're talking about animal sacrifices, or you're talking about instrumental music, or you're talking about a separate priesthood, all these things that are in the Old Covenant, we do not have today because it's not a part of the New Covenant. In fact, when they were talking about the law of Moses in Acts chapter 15, he says, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor us was able to bear? They're trying to tell the Gentile brethren that they don't have to go back and keep the law of Moses. Our life is not one of bondage, but in the law, you were, in a sense, under bondage. But we are now free. That Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, that they might have it abundantly. Look here in chapter 7 again, verse 6, what Paul had to say here. Chapter 7, verse 6, Paul says, but ye are now delivered from the law, that being dead that we're unto, we were held that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. The Old Testament law was true. The Old Testament law pointed to Christ. The Old Testament law had images, they had shadows, they had prophecies, they had all those things. All those wonderful things are there, but it cannot wipe away sin. And all the sins that were committed are now taken away in the blood of Christ. We read that over in the book of Hebrews, that the blood of Christ not only extends in the new covenant, but also in the old covenant. But the fact of the matter is you can't go back to the old covenant to establish points of law like so many people are willing to do. We are free from law. We are free from wrath. We are free from sin. We are free from law. Now look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, Paul shows how we are free from death. Listen to what Paul says in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Many people are afraid to die. And it's obvious why they're afraid to die. They're not prepared. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen at the judgment. They're afraid of the unknown. Many of them know that they should have lived the Christian life. Many of them know they should have been following God. Many know they should have been following Christ, but they just didn't do it. They're more concerned about self, or more concerned about money, or more concerned about power, or more concerned about so many other things. And now facing death. The other day I read a list of about 35 or 40 famous figures in history. Most of them atheists, and all of them, and they face death, are afraid and saying, I'm going into the unknown, I'm unprepared, because they had made fun of the idea of God and Christ and the Bible all of their lives. But Christians are not afraid of death. We've been made free from the law of sin and death. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, 2. The Hebrew writer said that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. So many times people get down to that point when they are afraid. I know there are times when people say, oh, I'm not afraid to die, I'm not afraid to die. But if they think about it seriously, they are. They are because they know they aren't prepared. They have not made the preparations they should in regard to meeting the Lord in judgment. Then there's one more freedom that we have. We are free from wrath, we are free from sin, we are free from the law, we're free from death. But we are also free to choose. The Bible makes that clear. The Old Testament said it, choose you this day whom you will serve. And we are all going to face God on the day of judgment. A judgment day is coming. And the Bible says we'll give an account of things done in this body, whether it be good or evil. The Bible says we will be judged out of the Word. The Bible makes it clear that the Word shall judge us in the last day. John chapter 12, verse 48. And we need to be aware of that we have this time now. Sometimes people say, well, it's not fair that God sends people to hell. God's not sending people to hell. People are choosing to go to hell. They're choosing to ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. They're choosing to ignore the Bible. They're choosing to ignore God. Look out at any day, and you see blessings from God. Look out at any night, look at the stars in the sky, and you'll see what blessings God has given us. Look at the food on your table, look at the clothes on your back, look at the things in your home, look at all the possessions that you have, all the blessings you have. And think, God has blessed me so, so much. I'm so, so blessed. We're all so blessed. And yet people just say, oh, God doesn't have anything to do with it. But He has everything to do with it. He has blessed us in every possible way. Now, Paul told the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This Thursday, we'll probably have get-togethers and maybe some picnics, maybe some fireworks, some things like that. Maybe some speeches, maybe some parades at some towns around the country. But people will be thinking about freedom. But I want us all to remember that the real freedom comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You want freedom? It's not from politics. It's not from a political leader. It's not from money. It's not from possessions. It's not from things of this world. Real freedom comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and obeying His will. And I hope and pray that you will do so today. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do it this morning. Put Christ on in the water of baptism. Come forward and make your confession of faith in Christ and will immerse you for the remission of your sins. As a child of God, you realize you have lived the Christian life. You need to rededicate your life this morning. Why not do that? You just need to have prayer for yourself or somebody else, whatever it might be. However we can help you, we encourage you to come and stand and listen.